I think we can really finish it right now. Come to a sort of conclusion on this. We've been through three parts to this discussion. I'm going to summarize them in one sentence, so that we're not going to go through the whole Chazar again, so don't worry. Part one was a case of basically Shevel Tase, which means you're the doctor, and the Shaila is, since Pikuach Nefesh is the Chuya, do you have to go out of your way to avoid being in a position where you may be called in to someone else's Pikuach Nefesh and be Doche Yisurim using Pikuach Nefesh? Right? It's totally Shevel Tase in the sense you didn't create that Pikuach Nefesh. That Pikuach Nefesh was independent of you. So this was the Machlokas of Shlomo Zalman and the Moshe, which we were able to kind of maneuver somewhat to satisfy everybody. Shlomo Zalman has no problems. He doesn't think the Chuya means that there's a problem here. He says it's a mitzvah to be Doche Isurim for Pikuach Nefesh, and if it's a plain case of that, he has no problems with it at all. Rav Moshe did. Rav Moshe understood the Chuya to mean exactly that, that you should be avoiding it. And, you know, those cases of, let's say, if you know you're going to need 98%, this isn't Vaday, we're not talking Vaday, even just very likely that you're going to be coming in, he says you should stay in the hospital because it's the Chuya. And, hypothetically, you shouldn't be on call because it's the Chuya. So how could it be that any doctor is ever on call for Rav Moshe Feinstein? Because certainly they are. So what we use to try to develop the heter for within Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe himself does use this, wasn't that we made it up. That last tshuva, he says it himself, basically the heter is that a person is, and again, whether it's in a mystical sense, and a pragmatic sense, a person's not zocha to be getting refuah from just anybody, and once it's your private patient, for sure, so like, in terms of the heter out there, once you're an attending, and you have your own patients, and you're in call for your practice, so, davar pashut, that for Rav Moshe, no problem. But even, he seems to state in this tshuva, if you're the one picked, if you're the one selected, and if you're the one on service, on a service, and you're the one on the schedule to be on that rotation at that point, so perhaps we can view that person also as selected, and in that sense, that would be matir, this isser. Now remember, the isser that's being made mutter here is not Chilul Shabbos. The isser that's being made mutter is this isser, which we have to really understand well, putting yourself in a position that you're going to be using Pikuach Nefesh to be Doche Yisurim. It's a new isser. It's an isser d'Rabbanan, right? The Kilas Yaakov is very, very mafurish about this being something that is only an isser d'Rabbanan. It's maybe Maris Ayin. We'll develop it a little more in a minute. Exactly what it is. Maybe it's a bizayon to Shabbos. Whatever exactly it isn't exactly something that should be immune to being overridden. And therefore, Rav Moshe himself does allow it to be overridden using that Ein Adam Zocha Lisrapos Mikolecha. So we developed that. So in Shevel Tase, that was part one. What we started to then talk about last week was a lot about treating non-Bnei Bris. And why would we focus on non-Bnei Bris? Because ultimately, what we developed, and I want to summarize this because it can be very, very important for getting to the bottom line on this issue, as well as it's important for everyone to develop, in my opinion, a shita in this area that they're comfortable with. And anyone who's not comfortable with it on either side of what I'm about to present should speak to somebody about it. You know, someone that they consider their Rebbe, their Posek, their someone that they respect in the areas of Hashkaf and Machshava. But when it comes to Anam Bnei Bris, we saw really there are three categories. There is the original Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the Akum. And there the Gemara is Mefurash, that an akum lomalin v'lomoridin, there's an isser hafatzalah by them. You're not supposed to be meyaled and be manik an individual towards avodah zarah. You're not supposed to facilitate a life that's going to be totally contrary to everything that we believe in. So there's this isser. Now, is it ever overridden? Yes, of course it's overridden mishum eva. And the Gemara itself talks about that, and that is the halacha l'maisa. Don't get don't make any mistakes. Salach l'maisa, even an ovid of a dezara, bizmaneinu, mishum eva, it's mutter. Not necessarily a mitzvah. In fact, it's not a mitzvah, right? Certainly not a mitzvah. In that category, there's no mitzvah to do this. Mishum eva, you're allowed to be merape people that are mamish ovid of a dezara. Then we saw at the opposite extreme is someone called a ger toshav. And a ger toshav is a very formal halacha category. It requires a certain process, and it requires certain parameters to have it established. So there we saw that both the Rambam and the Ramban agreed on what? What they all agree on? What they both agree on when it comes to a ger toshav? Somebody? That it's a mitzvah to be merapeh of them. There's a mitzvah of taking care of them and helping them. And that's beyond any doubts. Right? That was the Chuliyamba. There's no one who would say ger toshav does not have that. It's a din d'oraisa. Both of them quote psukim. They happen to quote different psukim, but they're quoting psukim. The Ramban in the Hosafos to the Sefer Mitzvos Tazayin, and the Rambam also. And he quotes it also with a pasuk. They're both talking about a din d'oraisa by ger toshav. The problem then really is the third category, is that's the category we're dealing with. We're not really dealing with too many over the avodah zarah. We're not dealing with any ger toshav, at least according to most views. We're dealing with contemporary non-B'nai Bris. So how do we view them? So we saw that when it comes to being Mechal Shabbos for them, that we have opinions out there, right? There are definitely opinions. So the major, major Rove Poskim approach it the following way. They say that we're going to have to assume not like the Ramban. The Ramban actually went as far as to say that a Ger Toshav is, well, we don't know what the Ramban would say about our contemporary situation. What we do know is the Ramban said by Ger Toshav, not only is it a mitzvah to take care of them, it's even a mitzvah to be Milchal Shabbos for them, for Pikuach Nefesh. Whereas the Rambam drew the line on that, and the Rambam said, no, even the official Ger Toshav, the Rambam would say, you cannot be Milchal Shabbos for that person. Even though it's a mitzvah on Chol to take care of them. But Pikuach Nefesh, B'chai Behem, is limited to Adam in the sense of Yisrael as an Adam, and not going to be. In order to create a heter to be Machal Shabbos Bizmanenu, we have to make the two assumptions then. We have to paskin, first of all, that Bizmanenu, they count as Ger Toshav, which is not the accepted view. The accepted view, with some exceptions, is that they're not. There's, once the Rambam said, you need all the criteria that you have for Yovel need to exist, and they don't, there's no such thing as a real official Ger Toshav Bizmanenu. Therefore, we don't get to use this at all. But if you did, let's say you were able to pass that hurdle, then you got to go to the next hurdle, which is agree with the Ramban. So you have to combine the Ramban plus the idea that they are Ger Toshav Bizmanenu, and that's what some were willing to do. Rav Nachman Rabinovich was the one most famous for doing this, and it seems that quite possibly Rav Aaron Soloveitchik seems to develop it in terms of Lamdos. He develops this idea as well. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein seems to have been in favor of it, as was reported. And by the way, I want to just point out the reports from that article from Dov Carroll that he put into Verapa Yerape. You know, I told you there was all this rumor always flying around. What was Rav Aaron's real opinion? Yes or no? Yes or no? He brings some pretty strong edus. You know, he really followed it up. I was impressed with that footnote. I heard, you know, when he mentions this idea that you can actually take it to its full conclusion here, that you can be Machal Shabbos Bizmanenu, even for Benam Debris. So he says, I heard this from Rav Lichtenstein at a tish in his home. He mentions the date, right? And then he followed up with him personally. That's pretty impressive that I can accept that edus, that that's really Rav Aaron Shita. So you'll see why I'm stressing this in a moment. I'm not necessarily going to go along with this psa, because it's really going against Rov the poskim. But there's something we might be able to use it for. And then, reportedly, the Rav also was okay with this. I've heard from Talmidei HaRav just the opposite. So I'm very confused. I don't know what the truth is on Rav Soloveitchik himself. Now it's conflicting ages. So that's kind of, by me, I can't go with it. But needless to say, at the end of the day, we have that shita. Now, what's this relevant for us? So it brings us finally to the conclusion. It's important to know exactly the status of a non-B'nai Bris for us today, because if we go with the majority shita, which again is, why am I allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, for Anam Bebris, majority Shita. What's the reason? Super Eva, right? Eva, what does it mean, Eva? Not the classic Eva of the Gemara. The classic Eva of the Gemara cannot do much for you. It could be over on a little tiny Dinder Rabbanan, according to many, right? According to the Bali Tosfos, some others, a major Dinder Rabbanan, but no more than that. Certainly can't be Mechal Shabbos Daraisa. So what is this? This is starting with the Chasam Sofer, the Yerchaim, and all those other postgame, and everybody. It's because of Pikuach Nefesh for the doctor or for Klal Yisrael. That's the ultimate heter. Right? And I told you that story where it drove home for me when I saw that this is a very sensitive area. You got to be very careful. You can't cause sakanas nefashos for people when you do make the wrong impression. Okay. So if that's true, that is the reason I could be Mechal Shabbos for Anam Bebris, that then creates the following scenario that becomes a problem. It puts us into this new situation of where when I am on call on Shabbos and I allow myself to be on call, if I'm taking care of Nam B'nei Bris, then the only reason I'm allowed to do it is because I'm in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. If that's true, then that opens up the Gemara that's on the page of this handout. Does everybody have it or anyone have it? Okay. Which is a different discussion than Shev Al Taseh, right? Shev Al Taseh was the first week. That was the whole Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe thing. This has nothing to do with that. This goes beyond that. This is its own set of rules where there are some people that hold this is a din d'oraisa, but it's certainly a strong and compelling din d'rabbanan that's respected. Made it right into the Shulchan Aruch, and that is, ein mafligin b'svina pachos mishloshe yamim kodem l'shabbos. You're not allowed to go out on a trip within 3 days of Shabbos, on a boat trip. B'medvar mamurim, l'dvar rishos, aval l'dvar mitzvah shapir dami. One exception is you could do it if it's for a dvar mitzvah, right? Then it says, uposik imo manas lishvos ve'eno shabbos. And really what you should do, according to Rebbe, is you should be stipulating with the people that are taking you on this boat trip that you're going to stop for Shabbos, you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos, right? And if they don't, you should make that deal seriously, but if they don't do it, okay, you don't have to die, right? The Rashbag says, Eino Tzarech, right? And he says you don't have to do it. Okay, so that's the Braisa, that's the discussion in the Gemara. What's the reason for the original din, right? Why Ein Mafligin B'Svina Pachos Mishloshe Yamim in the first place? What's wrong? What's wrong with going on a boat? Are you being Mechal Shabbos when you go on the boat? Everybody resounding? No, it's not even Shabbos, right? Talking about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So what could possibly be wrong? So there's a whole major machlokes Rishonim. We're going to talk about three. I want to mention three shitas because they're going to be important for us. Rabbeinu Chananah is the first shita we should talk about. Rabbeinu Chananah says the problem here is Tchum. That if you go in this boat, you're going to end up going on Shabbos outside your Makom Shvisa, you're going to go outside the Tchum, right? That was what he was worried about. Comes along the Rif and the Rambam, very important, they say, can't be that. It just can't be that. Because if your mamish could be Mechal Shabbos, if you're putting yourself in a position where you can be Mechal Shabbos, forget about any heterim. Even if it was from at the very beginning of the week, it still should be usher. It shouldn't be only usher within 3 days. You're not allowed to definitively put yourself in a position where your mamish can be Mechal Shabbos. That's absolutely usher. So the Rif and the Rambam reject the Rabbeinu Chananel for that reason. And B'makom Mitzvah also wouldn't be okay. If you're vada going to be Mechal Shabbos and go outside the Tchum, even a Din D'Rabbanan or a Daraisa, if it's Yudbeis Mil, whatever it is, certainly you wouldn't be able to do it. There would be no heterim, no exceptions. The fact that there are exceptions, it can't be the Rabbeinu Chananah's answer. It must be something else. So the Rambam and the Rif say, Mishum Oneg Shabbos, right? It takes a while, it takes a few days to acclimate, right? So if you're going too close to Shabbos, you're going to destroy your Oneg Shabbos because you'll be seasick and you'll be nauseous on Shabbos. So that's what they say. Comes along the Baal Maor, and he gives a different reason. And this is the one we're going to be most focused on. The Baal Maor says, no, the problem is like this. Sea travel is replete with danger. And it's not definitive, but it's very likely that you're going to run into a Sakanas Nefashos situation, and you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos, Derabanan Daraisa, in order to save your life. And that you're not allowed to do. When are you not allowed to do that? When you have a chiyuv to be mindful of the next Shabbos. When is that? Pachos migimel yamim. Then, right, we all know the very famous Gemara, right? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday go with this Shabbos. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday go with the previous Shabbos. So you have an achrayus to be mindful of Shabbos Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Therefore, you're not allowed to put yourself in a position where you're going to be using pikuach nefesh to be doche isurim. What kind of din is that? What kind of halacha is that? Suggestions? It's certainly a derabbanan, right? What's the concern? Our old friend, the concern, right? Same kind of concern we talked about before, but this is a little different. Why is it different? Because you, yourself, are creating the pikuach nefesh for yourself. Makes it worse, right? The fact that this isn't just you're a doctor and you happen to be doing the mitzvah of taking care of people that happen your way. This one is you are a priori deciding to put yourself in a position to create your own personal pikuach nefesh. That is, the stakes are higher. That's a much more difficult situation. Question? All right. So the Baal HaMor says that's the problem complete. Okay? Now, how do we paskin? There's the other shitas. Tosfos says something else, and the Ran says something else. There's all other shitas, but what about these three? So how do we paskin? So we paskin like basically like all of them to some degree. If you turn the page, we need, when we look at Simin Reish Mem Ches, that's where all the money is going to be, finally, to draw some conclusions. It's very important to separate Halacha Aleph from Halacha Dalet. Halacha Aleph and Halacha Dalet are very, very different. They're lumped together over here, but in circumstance, they're really different. And they're both going to represent circumstances that we need to contend with in our global situation about being on call on Shabbos. So we'll start with Halacha Aleph. Halacha Aleph, paskins exactly like the Braisa. Mutter lahaflik besvina afilu be'erev Shabbos im holech lidvar mitzvah. So whatever this problem is going to be of traveling within the 3 days, as long as you're doing it for a dvar mitzvah, you're okay. If it's not a dvar mitzvah, it's aser, right? Then the Mechaber says, uposik imo sheishpos, right? He quotes that halacha like Rebbe. The ima charkach lo yishpos, ein bekach klum. You got to make the effort, right? L'chadchila, you should certainly make the effort to arrange for Shomer Shabbos residency, let's say, right? You got to, or at least, you know, I talk to people about this all the time, you need to make the effort, if you're not doing a Shabbos residency, to see if you can get it. I'll never forget something that I'd love not to be on that. Now, the very, very important thing at this point is that the Mishnah Berurah points out, by the way, when it comes to being posik, this is a very important thing to know. And I just stress that you should lechatchila ask for it. It's not the ikuva in a case where it's not definitive that you'll end up being Mechal Shabbos, right? That you'll be definitively in a situation of pikuach nefesh, right? If it's like the case of lahaftik besvina, halacha aleph, so the Mishnah Berurah passes like rov achronim, which is really, if you don't make that deal, right, you're okay. Right? We'll see in halacha dalet, it's going to get a little different for the Mishnah Berurah anyway. So, which means that if you don't have a Shabbos residency and you have a non-Shabbos residency, you're not required to say, I'm going to definitely do no work on Shabbos or I'm not going. You don't have to say that. When would we ever be in an analogous situation like this? So, let's say we are in a situation, let's for the moment use an extreme case. All the patients are non-B'nai Bris. All the patients in the hospital, right? There are hospitals like that, right? I'm sure, I don't know if you've been around to any hospitals yet, you haven't, but every program has different types of hospitals, right? So, often, let's say, an inner city hospital, let's say, okay, I ended up at Shire Children's Hospital, and we rotated through Queens General. Queens General, and I think I was off on job. Your father knows, right? So there was no Jewish patients in Queens General Hospital. Absolutely not. So let's say you're on call over there, right? So you're on call over there, and you come in, and if you're going to be now being Mechal Shabbos Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, you're doing it Mishum your Pikuach Nefesh. So you are now analogous to our Halacha Aleph. What's the heter to do this? What heter exists? Why can I be on call in Queens Hospital? I'm not allowed to do it. Is it, first question, is it before 3 days? Do we view when you accept to be on call in a certain hospital, right? You signed your contract whenever you you matched. So whatever was going on, is that the beginning of this? No, that isn't where it begins. It isn't when, let's say, the people going in this halacha weren't starting from the point where they made a deal with the boat. It begins right when they enter the situation. For a call, this is the haskama of all the poskim that look at this, for being on call, that's Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos, because that would even make it worse, but Erev Shabbos, you are putting yourself in the position that Friday, when you're taking call, you have now accepted that you're going to be putting yourself in a position of pikuach nefesh, and using that as an excuse to be docha isur. So on the face of it, we're in trouble, unless what's the only other heter available? Mitzvah. And that's why it becomes a critical question in a scenario like this, is treating the non-B'nai Bris, Bizmanenu, a mitzvah? But we'll put that on hold for the moment. I'm saying it's not a vada. In other words, when you're... Right, so for the moment, we'll assume it's not. Okay, but we're going to work both scenarios. You know, you'll see. Some calls, you just sleep right through. Right? Believe it or not. Right?
Are we saying it has to be... It can't be a vada that you'll have to be the follow Shabbos even Darabonim? I mean, let's say it's a vada, you'll have to be the follow Darabonim.
Yeah, even the Rabbanis. Even the Rabbanis. Okay, so technically speaking, if it were a mitzvah to treat non-B'nai Bris, if it was a mitzvah for me to work in Queens General Hospital, as an example, then I'm good, right? Because I have the heter of the mitzvah. Again, I'm assuming non-Vadai, right? And if it's non-Vadai, that's the halacha. The halacha is I'm allowed to put myself in a position where it's likely, even Karov Levadai. It means very, very, very likely I'm going to be Mechal Shabbos. As long as it's not 100% definite, either I start before 3 days, which is not true by calls. You're not allowed to use that. But you could use it for something else, by the way. The big question of that, one of the questions that was asked in the beginning of this whole discussion, am I allowed to become a doctor if I'm going to be being in these situations? So the answer is that's so far removed. That's not Toch Shloshi Yamin. To decide to become a doctor is not part of this question, right? It's mutter to become a doctor. Absolutely mutter to become a doctor, even though sometime in the future you might be in situations where you'll be Mechal Shabbos and Mishum Tikkur Nefesh. That's not even an issue. We're talking about taking call. That's where this question comes up. Now that you're a doctor, can I take call on Shabbos? So, if it's going to involve the situation of you creating your own situation in Tikkur Nefesh, we get into this halacha. If it's only possible, but not vadai, that you're going to be Mechal Shabbos, then you get to use the heter of mitzvah. So what do? How can I possibly work in Queens General? So what are my two possibilities for heter here? One is that it's a mitzvah. And I'll tell you personally, I'm not embarrassed to say it, I'm very comfortable. I look at Rav Aaron and the Rav as my Rebbeim. In other words, I'm always going to look to Paskin like. So for me personally, I'm as chatayen imaskir yom to some people. I'm comfortable with looking at every time, and it makes me very happy. Also, that when I treat anybody, b'nei bris or non-b'nei bris, I look at it as a mitzvah. It's a very, very comfortable spot for me. Not everybody looks at it that way, right? Some people would shoot me for saying that, right? It's not necessarily the mainstream mahalach. The mainstream mahalach is like Rov Poskim. Rov Poskim don't say what they'll say. Now, why is it not such a radical thing I'm saying? Because the radical thing is to say I can mamish be Mechal Shabbos for a non-B'nai Bris according to the formula of Nachman Ben Amash. I'm not saying that. I am saying that I could look at it as a mitzvah within the context of this limited halacha of putting myself in a position to use Pikuach Nefesh to be Doch Yisurim. That's not the same thing. Does everyone appreciate that? It's very different. I'm not so radical. And I'm very comfortable with the Shita. Is there an alternative if you're not comfortable with the Shita? So there is. And this is Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, all you need is, let's say you have 99 non-B'nai Bris and one B'nai Bris in the hospital. Then it's okay to be on call. Because you're being on call, it's a mitzvah to be on call. If you held it, wasn't a mitzvah for the 99, but it is a mitzvah for this B'nai Bris, So you're going to be, it's preferable, Shlomo Zalman l'shitaso, it's preferable to be on call for that. It should better be you than someone else. It's better that it's be you, lo mi kol Adam, zochel l'srapos, or because it's better to have Yisrael doing it. So you be on call for him, and then mimela, you'll take care of the rest. It's no longer that you put yourself into that position of where you created the pikuach nefesh. That's not what you did. You're taking care of this Yisrael, and that's what you're doing. If you look at the last page of the handout, I wanted you to see it in print, where he says this. He says both things. Because the other thing is the chumrah. The chumrah is, if there's not that Yisrael, he says it's asa. And he says you have to switch. Imarofa nimsa the beis cholim shel nochrim. Chayav hu lahachlif es atoranut shelo. This is what it says in Shmir Shabbos, Chaf Gimel, on the bottom of that last page. Chayav hu lahachlif es atoranut shelo im nochri, velo yavod hu b'shabbos. Afim yitztarach l'shalim kesef l'nochri. Even if you have to pay a lot of money to the nochri to take your call. O lasos toranut kfula, or double up your calls. By the way, those are the kind of things you need to do. If you're really serious about Shmir Shabbos and you're really committed, so I remember when I did my Shabbos residency, so I had to take all the Sundays, right? And there were four people with me that were also doing Shabbos, and two of them couldn't deal with that, so they gave up Shabbos. So, okay, you know, it's better to do the Sundays. Right? Don't sacrifice your principles not to be on Sunday. But anyway, he's telling me I should be willing to double my number of calls. I should be willing to pay. You know, people have sacrificed over the generations for Shabbos a lot more than this, right? That's what it says in Shmir Shabbos. So wow, it's pretty machmir. If you look at the footnote, the Shamati, that's Rav Nirbuk. That's the author of Shmir Shabbos' Pesach. And then he says on the footnote below, Shamati Miagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch. If there is, and the word is there, Shlomo Zalman says, even one. Yitachen the adif tvei shisha Yisrael, that you should have a Yisrael doctor taking care of them. Below yachlif im anochri, and better not to switch with a nochri. Kedei shishtadel yosir tov avurav. Umutter af im yitzarach mishum kach, the tapil gam becholim anochrim. Vimrach cholim anochrim bebeit cholim. Belav hachi aser, right? So that's what Shlomo Zalman's full psak, the chumra and the kula. So the chumra is he really held, if there's no non-bnei bris, that you're running into this problem, and you're not supposed to take that call. Again, so you have these two avenues to get out of it. Now, he also writes there, it sounds like the Yisrael Mamish has to be already on the service. There are other poskim that say, and this you have to ask your poskim, all you need is the potential. So I'll tell you, even Queens General, were there ever Jews that made it through Queens General? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like my kid once. I was doing a shift in the ER over there. It wasn't UGov. And I'll never forget this. It was my daughter, my oldest daughter. She had somehow gotten she was running with her keys and her keys stuck in her head, something like that. She needed stitches. We lived in Kew Garden Hills. Right? And my wife knew I was in the ER. She decides to dash over to Queens General. So they're Jewish, and they came in. I remember my daughter, I think it was the first time she had ever seen people of a different persuasion, and she started speaking about it very openly in the waiting room. I remember it was quite a... But, and not just them, but I remember being on service and having... sporadic times when people came in. So is there any hospital in the New York area that Mamish never had one? Probably it's hard to find, right? So if you hold like this posik who says you don't need Mamish a Yisrael there at the time, then you could still really liberalize this heter. Again, so that leaves three.
Who says that?
In summary. So the three heterim are Rav Shlomo Zalman, who says if there's Yisrael on the service, even one, you're good to go. The heter that I'm personally very comfortable with, which is working with the Shita Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, possibly the Rav, that it is a mitzvah to take care of non-bnei bris bizmanenu. And then this other shita that says all you need is a potential for Yisrael to be there, and it's good enough.
So, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you're, let's say, not in the Shabbos program, and you're actually working on Shabbos, and there's a Jew who's on your service, and you have the ability to switch, you should not switch your call.
Right. Well, Moshe would not agree with that, by the way.
He's
holding. It's not such a pashut shita, because what he's going with is the idea that might not be true in our time, right? I, you know, personally have never encountered, and chas v'chalila that I ever should, that the non-Bnei Bris doctors will do less a good a job than Yisrael would on a particular patient. And there are many that hold that concern does not really exist. As well as it's a machlokis in the Shulchan Aruch itself. The Rama actually paskins that mutav al yidei noch. Right? The Machaber paskins to do it with Yisrael and the Rambam. That's the Rambam sheet. But, so that's, you know, part of the weakness of the whole approach.
For a Jew to be in the hospital for a Horvath, wouldn't it be in your area of the hospital? So, like, let's say you're in the ER, but the Jew's not in the ER. He's already been moved to another place in the hospital.
No, it has to be someone that has the doctor's achrayus. Is related.
So, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, why, if even though there's one Jew, so why am I allowed to now treat the other non-Jews?
Right, in other words, because...
Because it was a mitzvah originally.
The reason you're allowed to treat them is the same reason you always were allowed to treat them according to this approach, which is Pekuach Nefesh for Kal Yisrael, Pekuach Nefesh for the Rov. But before you accepted that call, there was an Isser to take the call, unless you had the...
And also... according to if you say that it's a mitzvah to treat the non-Jews, so then would it be mutter to take a residency in the Midwest or like a random place where there are absolutely no Jews?
According to this psak, yes. According to this psak, yes. But wait, because we didn't get to Halacha Daud. Halacha Daud was the original email. The original email is saying, wait a second. Everything we just discussed applies, the heter of mitzvah applies only in a case where it's not Torah's Vaday, where it's not definitive that you're going to be Mechal Shabbos. What if you feel like Alex, right, that every time you're on call as a resident, and we'll see, I'll try to give you some statistics on this, that when you take call as a resident, right, or you meant even as a... right, that ultimately you're going to be Mechal Shabbos, at least as a Midrabana. We're not saying Be'isr, we're saying even Be'toras, Heterim of Chola, Sheish, Basakon, etc. So, isn't it definitive? And if it is, it relates more to Halacha Dalet. Because look what it says, let's go to Halacha Dalet. Halacha Dalet says, Hayotzim Bashaira. This time, people are going out to the desert. Caravan to the desert, Bamidbar, Vahakol Yodim. Those are very key words. Vahakol Yodim means what? Everyone knows what's going to be. Shem Tzrichim L'chal Shabbos, Ki Mipnei HaSakana Lo Yuchlu La'akib Bamidbar B'Shabbos, Levadam Shloshi Yomim Kodim Shabbos. Here, the scenario is a little different than Mafligin B'Svina. Mafligin B'Svina has possibilities that you won't be Mechal Shabbos. The assumption of Halacha Daled is it's much more definitive. It's B'Toras Vaday that you're going to be Mechal Shabbos. Anything different from the perspective of the Mechaber? No. The Mechaber says, the same Heterim apply, right? What does he say? He says, Asurim Latzeis, you're not allowed to do it. However, when am I? Ubayom Rishon, Ubesheni, Ubeshlishi, Mutter Latzeis. Oh, there it is again. So even though it's Vadai from the Mechaber's perspective, it's not different than Halacha Aleph. And then, at the end of the halacha, he also throws in the heter mitzvah. Of course, what mitzvah? What great mitzvah? The mitzvah of Yeshuv Eretz Yisrael, right? Very, very important mitzvah. We'll see just how important if we get to Ksiva. And because of, let's say you're going on this caravan, you're making aliyah, right? Then even if it's within 3 days, and it's definitive that you're going to be Mechal Shabbos, you're allowed to do it. So it sounds like from the Mechaber, no difference, even though I'm telling you there's a difference. From the Mechaber's perspective, there is none. The Baal Ma'or's whole halacha applies to both. This is all Baal Ma'or. right? This halacha is totally based on the Baal Me'or, not the Rif, and not the other ones that had to do with boat travel, right? We're not talking about boat travel anymore. We're talking about some other situation where you're putting yourself into Sakanas Nefashos. That's what halacha d'al is about. Outside of the context of the Onik Shabbos issue and all the other things that were spoken about in the previous halacha. So, what did the Baal Me'or say? The Baal Me'or's full halacha was that you are allowed to put yourself b'sakana under conditions of mitzvah or kodim shloshi yomim. So the Mechaber seems very comfortable with passing it like that, but who doesn't? The Mishnah Berurah. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, in both the Mishnah Berurah and in the Bir Halacha, he brings down the Achronim that were, and the Rishonim that were brought by the original email that say, wait a second, you know, this whole halacha is crazy. Because isn't it true that when the situation is a vadai, that you're definitely going to be mechal Shabbos, that no one would say it's mutter, right? Even the makom mitzvah. What's his proof? The Rif. He says, look at what did the Rif say? The Rif said, the Rif and the Rambam rejected Rabbeinu Hananel. Why? They rejected them because they said, well, if the issue is some type of chilul Shabbos, like tchum even, then you'd be usher, even if it was a mitzvah, to do this, because it's b'toras vada, you're going to be mechal Shabbos, and it would be usher, no matter when you began. So, therefore, it couldn't be. So, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Radvaz and others, right, Marib Leib, that it should be usher, and even though the Machaber says this, we should paskin against it. He's really pushing against this heter. If it's a case of vadai, the implication is that the Mishnah Berurah feels you should not do it. So now we have a problem. If you're an attending physician, you have no problem. Attending physicians on call could very, very likely never have to be Mechal Shabbos. And there is, and it's call by call. It's not like the global calls, right? It's like I am being Mevazi Shabbos when this Shabbos I'm putting myself on call. You don't look at it, it's sometime in my lifetime I'm going to be Mechal Shabbos. Right? That's what we saw in Rav Mosner, and that's a very intuitive understanding, right? That you have to, like, it's not a bizayon to Shabbosos if I'm going into medicine. It's just like an absurd thing to say, right? But it is a bizayon to Shabbos on a particular Shabbos that I'm putting myself on call when I know, bevadai, I'm going to be Mechal Shabbos. And even b'mako mitzvah, so now what do I do? If that's true, even b'mako mitzvah, so now I don't have all my mitzvah stuff to rely on. Even if it was Yisroel, right? What's the difference, though? By the Yisroel, I'm not putting myself in a position of creating the Pikuach Nefesh. Don't make that mistake. This is Dafka by Nan B'nei Bris. So if you're going to be on call for a Dafka Nan B'nei Bris, you got a problem. Unless we can figure out a way out of this. Which we can. What? Yeah. They say that they reject Rabbeinu Hananel because it's not possible. The two heterim that exist in the Braisa could not apply to such a case.
Right. Well, Rabbeinu Hananel's issue that you're violating, right? I didn't see it inside, but is he talking about you relying on Sakana?
Excellent.
So, no, he's talking about violating.
Exactly. So that's the Tzitz Eliezer, that, right? Excellent Mar Makom, right? They're going to be three ways out of this. Way number one, which is very compelling, right? This isn't just, sometimes you get a Tzitz Eliezer that you use, but you don't feel good about. This is a Tzitz Eliezer that really makes a lot of sense. And he says the following. He says, hold everything. When is it that the Rif and the Rambam would say, even b'mako mitzvah, you better not get involved? That's when you're going to be Mechal Shabbos, period. Not b'makom sakana, not using b'kuach nefesh. Just stam b'machal Shabbos. You're going to be in a position where you're placing yourself to go outside the tchum. You're going to be putting yourself in a position where you're going to be doing kosher or whatever, malachos, just stam, not because of b'kuach nefesh, right? So, of course, under those conditions, you're never allowed to put yourself in a position where you're going to be stam b'machal Shabbos. But the Baal Me'or's halacha is very different. And this is, over and over again, the yisod that you got to keep in mind. It's not such a terrible thing to save people's lives, right? And Sakanas Nefashos, as a matir of Chilul Shabbos, is a normal, beautiful thing. right? V'chai b'hem. It's, if you ever read the Gemara in Sanhedrin that discusses it, right? Chaviva neshama shel Yisrael to Hashem more than all the mitzvahs in the world. Hashem loves us. He loves us. And since He loves us, He wants us to live. And He wants us to help other people live too. So, but we don't want to like be mevazeh Shabbos and just lightly take this. So you're not supposed to put yourself into a position where you're definitively doing that. And that's the problem that that's created here or raised. However, the Mechaber didn't have a problem with it. You know, on one hand, you know, the Mishnah Berurah is screaming about this. But don't lose sight of the fact that the Mechaber paskin this way in the first place. He was comfortable with the Baal Mor. And so is the Tzitz Eliezer. And the Tzitz Eliezer, at the end of the day, by this chiluk of differentiating the issue by the Rabbeinu Chanana, like exactly like you said, and the fact that it's talking about using Bikur Nefesh to be Doche Yisurim, says that we will maintain B'makom Mitzvah, it's still okay, and we can feel good about it. Another heter is Rav Yashuv. And this is a very interesting heter. Both these makaris I should have put into the handout you should have. Maybe we can get it to everybody. Right? The Mar Malkum from Tzitz Eliezer, and this one too, which everybody should get. The Rav Yashuv was asked the following question. This is a question that we'll also have to deal with. Scheduling surgery. Let's say there's a person who has gallstones or something and needs some kind of surgery to relieve the issue. And it's elective to the sense that you know, I could do it on Thursday, or I can hold it over to Sunday. You know, I could do it at a different time. Why would I be compelled, or why might I say, don't do it on Thursday? Obviously, because if I do it on Thursday, I'm going to be creating a situation of Chil Shabbos on Shabbos, for sure, right? A lot of things go on with post-operative patients. So, am I allowed to have surgery scheduled on Thursday? That was the shaila he was asking. So everybody quotes this Mishnah Berurah that we were just talking about, and says, what? If you're vada going to do it, even b'makom mitzvah, forget it. So comes along over to Yashiv and he says, wait a second. He's aware of the Mishnah Berurah, right? And he's not going like the Tzitz Eliezer is rejecting the approach of the Mishnah Berurah. But Rav Yashiv is going to acknowledge the Mishnah Berurah, but he's going to go beyond it. He's going to say the following. U'bemakom choli o yisurim kigon chole shetzarich nituach b'shvil shever u'kedome sha'al yidei sheyit nechuhu b'yemos ha'shavua yigrom chilul Shabbos Hore Hagon Rav Yashuv, Shiitachin Shemutter Lenatcha. He says it's mutter to schedule the surgery for Thursday. Why? The af, even though the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, Hichmir Shafilo Dvar Mitzvah Asur Kishiodea Bevada Shiachal Shabbos, Mikomakom, Bimakom Choli O Yisurim, Yeshahakil Yoser. So Rav Yashuv says, fine, you could be machmir like the Mishnah Berurah in general about going out on a trip or something, going out on a caravan and doing something like that. Bimach, because you know B'toris Vale. But when it comes to B'makom Choli, where there's this additional issue, Rav Yashuv was making. I think, with Ines Leite, you can extrapolate out, right? Here's what you have to think about it, to our scenario as well. That even though it's Toris Vadai, since it's b'makom choli, by definition, that's what we're talking about completely, we can then use Rav Yashuv's heter to go beyond the Mishnah Berurah's psak. And maybe he's even suggesting that the Mishnah Berurah himself, right? In other words, like the compelling reason to be on call would be like this. You're on a service. And now you got to decide, am I going to be on call on Shabbos or not? Or am I going to quit the program, right? So, because that's your options, right? So, the Rav Yashuv would say, no, I mean, I shouldn't say Rav Yashuv would say, I'm extrapolating out from what he said in that context, so over here, that now, it's not just that I'm putting myself in a position doing a mitzvah. This isn't any mitzvah, this is a very special mitzvah. The mitzvah of the Rapa Yerapa. That's a very big mitzvah. And it's a mitzvah where he seems to allude that in the context of this mitzvah, it might be able to be more than stam mitzvah, because if you look in Halacha Dalet, the way Rabbeinu Tam, in which the Ramah Paskins like, defines mitzvah, it's incredibly weak. Which is another reason I like my Shita to go like Rav Aaron and the Rav. Mitzvah, according to the Ramah and Rabbeinu Tam, is going out for business. My God, if that's considered a mitzvah, going for business. The only thing that's a reshus is like going on a pleasure trip. But going out for business, that's a mitzvah. You're going to tell me that's more of a mitzvah than to take care of a non-bei bris? I find that hard to believe, right? It doesn't matter what I believe. As long as I have poskim like the Rav and Rav Aaron and Rav Aaron to say it. But, you know, in terms of that type of mitzvah is one where if it's bevadai, then there's a problem. But if it's a mitzvah like being merapei cholim and people that are suffering, then Rav Yoshev seems to allude that changes the entire scenario. The final, I want to mention quickly, so we can, and this is the last statement on this entire topic, and we can get to Ksiva, is the other possibility is, in truth, you got to know certain calls and certain services. On any given Shabbos, you may never be Mechal Shabbos. And if that's factually true, then you get to treat this as Halacha Aleph and not like Halacha Dalet in the first place. And it's going to be dependent on the particular service you're on, the type of call you're doing. And there are certain ones that are better than others in terms of this. Like even within, let's say, a general medicine or a general pediatrics residency, so there'll be certain rotations where you know that when you're on call, you're doing nothing, right? I don't want to bias anyone with those particular circumstances, right? And there are certain types of residencies where, you know, I remember sweating it out, running around, like with my ICU patients and seeing my good friends who I was supposed to be meeting them for, like, you know, the middle of the night snack. And I can't because I'm working and they're just, like, sleeping the whole day, right? It depends on the service. So certainly if you're in a service that's not vaday on a Shabbos, any particular Shabbos, you can do Mechal Shabbos, I think you could treat it like Halacha Aleph, and even the Mishnah Berurah would still be Mekel in that case. Ah, good segue. Because not all the Rabbanans are the same in this regard. Right? Yeah, but Tchum is a very different Rabbanan. It's a very different Rabbanan. Right? We're gonna talk about it. So let's take, just in case there's any, we'll take a 2-minute break just before we start the new topic. Right? Anyone have any questions on what we've said? Everyone understand the conclusions? Should I summarize the conclusion? Summarize the conclusion as follows. The original question way back 2 weeks ago that created all this was the very valid concern that when a person in, and this is particularly true in residencies and fellowships, when you're on call, it is often going to be vaday, every single Shabbos you're going to be Mechal Shabbos. And under those conditions, it sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah that you shouldn't be involved in this situation, because even if it's a mitzvah for you to do it, even if there's a mitzvah involved, you cannot be creating the other scenario simultaneously. So even in that case, if you had a Yisrael and a non-Bnei Bris, right, you're still in trouble on Halacha Dalet. What we developed was, around that original question, many other issues are all related to the same idea of putting yourself in a position where you're going to be using heterim to be Mechal Shabbos of varying degrees. And what we've learned is that when it comes to situations of Pikuch Nefesh that you did not create, but you were Sheva Atase about it, so Rav Shlomo Zalman is very comfortable, sees no Isser whatsoever, there's no Dechuya problem. Rav Moshe sees the Dechuya problem, but solves it by saying that if it's your patients, your service, that then you have a particular achrayus and ability to be able to take the call and not worry. In terms of the question of staying over in the hospital, if you know you're likely going to be called in, so that's also machlokas between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe, that you should ask your individual poskim. If they poskim very consistently, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, there's no question he's machmir in that shayla, and you would have to stay over in the hospital. Even if it's not vaday, but it's just safek karov levaday. And Rav Shlomo Zalman did not agree. He drew the line because of his shita, but it's not really dechuya in that sense. He says you can go home. That's a very important nafkamina to know about. I'm telling you, it will definitely come up. It's definitely going to come up at some point in everybody's career that they're going to need to make that call. That they know they're going to be that you can take call from home, you'd like to go home, but you know for sure you're likely to get called in. So it's a shaila to ask your posting. Finally, in terms of the real question, the original question that was posed, whether it should be a major problem to take call when it's definitive you're going to be Mechal Shabbos and you're into this situation of creating the Pikuach Nefesh because it's taking care of non-Bnei Bris and you hold by that Shita. So we had basically three avenues of possible heterim, all very acceptable. This is Tzitz Eliezer, who says that we'll go with the Mechaber because and the Baal Me'or, which is the Iker Din anyway, and we don't have to be Machbir like the Mishnah Berurah. Or we can go with the Rav Al Yashuv, who says the Makam Choli and Yesurin. We don't have to go with that Chumrah of the Mishnah Berurah. Or you can like have a knowledge or an understanding of the particular rotation you're on, that it's not really Vaday, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos. And even if it's 99%, Safik Karav Levaday is not Vaday. The only place where it's really a Bizayon is in the real Vaday. It's not a Rove thing. Even if Rove, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos, that doesn't count as a Lechadal.
Where do you make the distinction between the Kulvasay and the Shevavasay? Is it only in deciding on which program you're going to do? Because once that's in, you join the Nanch on the Shabbos thing, then you're given a schedule. So at that point, you Shevavasay in terms of your Shabbos, if you're
no. You're Sheva Al Tasa any time you're dealing with the Yisrael. Because what does Sheva Al Tasa means? You did not create the Pikuach Nefesh. Let's say you're on call. If you had your choice, would there ever be a Sakanas Tefashas situation that you'd have to deal with? And is your being on call making them happen? There were some people that they used to say were like really bad luck charms and no one wanted to be on with them because like, if this guy's on, you know you're going to have like four arrests and things like that. Right? But putting that aside, there's no way that the doctor, by being on call, is creating the Sakanas Nefashos. That's called Sheva Al Tasa.
But if the Sakanas Nefashos are treating the non-Jew with that, or not treating the non-Jew,
who?
The neighbors.
Yeah.
It's going to be for you, right? So then as soon as you're on the schedule, you automatically have entered into a world that if you back out and you don't treat on that given job, so you've created the, you know, the Sakanas Nefashos.
I know, but... No, but it's...
You can just get fired. No?
It's... No, but the heter for you... The question is, mutter or asr to be on call? So I'll say it's mutter to be on call. Why? Because you're taking care of the Yisrael. Either because of Rav Moshe, lo mikol adam, vizachal Yisrael post, or because of Rav Shlomo Zalman, because you're taking care of the Yisrael. Now that you're doing that, you're in that... Now you're there. Oh my God, look, there is a non-Bnei Bris who's also the Sakanas Nefashos. Am I allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for him? Well, if you don't hold like Rav Aaron, and all that stuff, no, Mikar did. However, Eva Gedola now is Matir for you. What was Matir, you're taking the call, was not any of that. Matir, the call, was the fact that there's a Yisrael that you're taking care of. That's how it works. That makes it Shabbat. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman, what he's saying. It's on the last page. Who's saying to do that?
No, but that's not the sakana.
The sakana.
If you decide not to treat your non-papers and Shabbos, you can create a sakana for yourself, right? But it's no different if you're in the scenario on Shabbos or you say 3 months before.
Your chilo Shabbos will be in order to avoid the pikuach nefesh. No, quitting won't cause it. No one will know that. No one knows. You quit because you decided you want to be a lawyer. I don't know why you quit, right? No one knows why you quit. There's no Sakanas Nefashos generated because you're quitting. Unless you're, and I'm not saying you, but unless somebody's stupid enough to say, hey, by the way, the reason I'm quitting is because, hey, no one's advertising it. When does it become an issue? Shasmaisa, when you're there and they see, you know, hey, you're treating him differently. You know, there's a Havamina, actually, how far this goes. There's a Havamina that you could actually be Mechal Shabbos more for an Abnebris than for Yisrael. Right? Because let's say, you know, for Yisrael, I'm limited for Chol Hashem Bo Sakana to do Shvus, right? Al Yideshino. But let's say the non-papist is not happy with that. And he says to me, you know what? What's with that? You know, do the Daraisa. He's screaming at me, right? So says, I have me to that Mishum this Eva, I better do it. Rosh Hashanah actually paskins the Shaila not that way. He says, no, as long as you're fair, what if you do to the Israel, you have to do to them. And that's where the problem arises when they're seeing you treat them the same way as you treat us. And if you do, you're good to go. And of course you should. All right. Enough of this topic. Get more substantive issues. We're going to go now, starting with Ksiva. Not a lot of time, but enough time to really get through the background. I want to read the email I got that's going to generate. Here's another. All these emails should be very nogeya to all of you. These are actual people in the position you will be, Bezos Hashem, in a number of years. Right? So this is a woman who had a neurology residency. Right? So she's asking the following questions. I'm on consults this month. So these questions pertain to that. One, I don't know why she's writing also, but whatever. We write paper notes. But I do a chart review before a consult on the computer because the ER notes, the H&P, and the discharge summaries are on the EMR. Everyone knows what the EMR is? Electronic Medical Record. So what is she beautiful? What I loved about these questions is they gave me every facet to this topic I ever wanted to discuss. So number one, she's pointing out something that everyone's got to realize. When it comes to being on call, right, even though everything's computerized in most advanced hospitals, Bismanenu, and most things are on computer and more it's going to be that way, everybody still has to write when they're on call with old-fashioned writing, assuming we all know how to do it, right? I know, like, my kids can't write script, but that's the way it is. But everybody still needs to write. Why? What are the scenarios? So she's writing one of them. One of them is when you take sign-outs, right? The very first thing you do when you're going on call is you need to hear about the patients, right? And whether you're a night call or a weekend call or you're just getting sign-out from the other interns and residents that are going to tell you what's going on with their patients because you had your patients and everybody splits up the patients. So you need to now know about everyone. So this you're going to be writing. Now, when does this take place? Before Shabbos, right? It should be taking place before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, you're writing down, right? This definitely should, but it doesn't always. So that's not a problem. When do I need to write more? Well, a lot of things are going on with all these patients. You're going to be looking up labs. You're going to be checking imaging studies. You're going to be writing clinical changes. Oh, well, this guy arrested. Should everybody know about that, right? So you're going to put it into the sign-out. Now, just so happens, let's say, right now, at Columbia, all the medical record is now on computer. And what the fellows and residents are doing, for the most part, is all updated information is also put right into the computer. However, it's not, when you're a busy person on call, this is what you'll see and experience one day, you don't have time to do that, you don't have access to the computer all the time, you're constantly needing to jot things down. So writing stam still is no gale. At the same time, you're also going to be using a computer. So we need to discuss how best to handle writing, mamish, and using all the other electrical communication devices on Shabbos. So that was her first point. But then she got really good because she started bringing in some very, very interesting ancillary issues that really are very, very, very relevant. For the majority of new consults, there is a possibility of something more dangerous to rule out. She asked this, it's such a good question. She goes, what is she telling me this for? Because she realizes that if you get into a situation of Sefanos Nefashos, you have the most room to work, right? But is everything Sefanos Nefashos, right? So what is it, many neuroconsults, you have a patient who's like lying there in the hospital, and they're saying they're dizzy. Now, is dizzy Sefanos Nefashos? Give me the right answer. Is dizzy Sefanos Nefashos? You don't know any medicine yet. But the right answer for good resident, intern, is maybe, could be, right? How do you know? It depends. That's a good answer. And then, if you have one of these really, you know, South African attendings, right, because they're great clinically, they'll say to you, okay, so let's go to the differential. What's the differential? I can't do a good South African accent, but whatever. They get a coffee, right? What's the differential for dizziness? So you'll see on the list, they'll say, well, you know, a little dehydrated, a little inner ear issue, those are benign. Oh, or it could be a major tumor, that's about to herniate this person and kill them. Could be that. And she names a few more, right? She says, for example, dizziness consult, a posterior fossa stroke, right? Were you thinking about that? Not yet. But she knows that at the onset, every seemingly trivial, this is what you have to realize, and it's not just to play around with Shabbos. You need to know this to be a good doctor. Every symptom of a hospitalized patient is potentially, and non-hospitalized for that matter too, potentially, unless you know for sure, Sakanas Nefasha. So in the beginning, she knows she's in a Sakanas Nefasha situation. But then she says, but wait, once I assess the patient, it could be anything from benign to different degrees of suspicion for something more serious. Meaning she feels, and this is going to be case by case, a certain level of confidence that she's determined through her HEP, right, that this is not one of those serious ones. This is clearly not a posterior fossa, CVA. This is, you know, the guy, you know, was gave me a history that his grandkid came in to see him and they were going around in circle, 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 and he got very dizzy, right? So pretty clear in that case that it's not Sakanas Nefashos, right? Just lie down and you'll feel better in a few seconds. So she says, how do I write that up? Good question, no? Clearly, there's no Sakanas Nefashos here, right? In the case of a Sakanas Nefashos, I want to write things down. Why? Why are we writing things down altogether? To bill? Sometimes, we'll get to that, right? Those are going to be a big problem, right? Discharge orders, those are going to be a big problem. But most things that happen to inpatients, you need to communicate to other people, right? They need to know about it. And you need to sign it out. So even if it's, let's say, very often what happens is a lot of people, even not Shabbos-minded people, end up writing their follow-ups in the EMR after their call is long over. Lo aleinu, right? You don't want to be staying there extra, but it does happen because you're swamped with 60 patients. You know, I don't want to scare anyone, but there are some calls like this, right, where you've got tons and tons of patients, and there's no way you're going to be able to get everything down, you know, running over to the computer all the time, unless as things get better, and they do have this on some services, in the good places, right, you will have something that you can carry with you. And we're going to talk about how to use that also, an electrical device that everything is, you know, that's will be actually the simplest Agabe Shabbos. But right now, still in the year 2016, my little survey of house staff, they're telling me they're still jotting things down. Certainly the fellows in our division, jotting things down, writing it down, and if it's something that they must communicate to the next guy, right? Like cardiac patient who has any sudden neurological finding is an automatic, absolute Sakanas Nefashos thing that needs to be communicated along the line. So you gotta write it down. But if it's the other one, what do you do? What do you do? Now, is it important? Can you skip it? So we'll see. She goes like this. Then she goes in, and if that wasn't good enough to have to deal with that type of complication to this issue of writing, she throws in this. Well, first she says, the main question here is, what can I do once I know it's likely benign? Can I still write the note, make phone calls, etc.? Good, we'll talk about it. Can I write a note with the tzomet pen? Everyone knows what the tzomet pen is? Here it is. So we're going to have to talk about exactly how good this is. This is an actual one from a long time ago when I was a fellow. I think they still look exactly like this. Never opened. I wonder if it writes. Can you try it? Okay, we'll try it later. She wants to know if there's any advantage to doing that. Anyone know anything about these? Is there an advantage to using them? Well, major machlokas a poskim, right? We'll talk about exactly how we should handle it, but the answer is yes. These are helpful. Unlike a gramophone, which I'm going to maintain is a waste, right? Phoenix Daiti. Maybe not a total waste if you're always looking to minimize. And hypothetically, according to some people, you're minimizing, but we'll see. These have very strong shitas that this is worth it, and we'll talk about why. So we'll get to that. Then she goes to the next paragraph. Then there are sometimes consults that are almost definitively not urgent that can clearly be managed as an outpatient. Now listen to this. This is really a dilemma that happens to everybody. Anyone who's Shomer Shabbos. Ready? I will try to avoid these, but if we have multiple of these pending, in other words, She knows the best thing to do with a totally benign nothing patient. Someone like, you know, this happens also when you're on call, you got to do a consult in the ER to somebody who comes in for nothing. Right? Those are going to happen. You need to write up an ER note. So she says, I'm going to try to avoid those. But what happens sometimes is there's a team of people handling these, and everybody needs to chip in. So what do you do when you're part of a team and you're expected to chip in to handling some of these consults and some of these outpatient little nothings when you're placed into that position? So she says, what are the parameters for what I can and cannot do? So we'll have to answer that. It goes beyond writing. We are also required to write a stroke code note. This is the final one. What is a stroke code note? Anyone know? What's a stroke code? Exactly what it sounds like. There's a stroke. We call a code. What's special about it? You should know this is very, very important to know. For absolutely incredible saving of a person from morbidity. So we are zocha to have treatments for strokes that can really change an entire person's whole life. It used to be, if a person had a stroke, lo aleinu, their life was devastating. Now, with TPA and various types of treatments, if you get it in time, right, there's like a 6-hour window and there's certain windows for this, you know, you save somebody. But that's an immediate emergency thing. So everything you need to do, you do. You don't think about Shabbos. If there's any kind of arrest or code, do not even be conscious of the fact that it's Shabbos. Train yourself. If there's an arrest or code, it's Tuesday. And never even think about it. Really don't. The only time you think about Shabbos in Sakanas Nefashos is when you know for sure that time is available to you. Usually in arrest, every moment, every second counts. So whether it be in a cardiac arrest or a stroke code, either one of those, time is of the essence. So that part is pashut. But what does she ask? She says, we have to write a note after the fact to testify to the time it took from the moment they were called to the moment when treatment was instituted. Why are they writing that? What does that do? So, protection against lawsuits, billing, right? And, you know, sort of like to track their door-to-needle time. What does she mean by that? It's important to watch the progress of the residents in terms of how they do with this. Now, billing time. Is there a heter for writing bills on Shabbos? No. Is there a heter for tracking door-to-needle time? Maybe, right? Because now we just got to figure out what the level of this heter would be. Door-to-needle time is going to help this program get better, right? What's the potential problem in saying it's Sakanas Nefashos? Is there a chol lefaneinu? Does it meet that criteria? We're going to have to get back to that. All right, so at least we got to introduce the next issue. And Bli Neder, I'm going to make a very concerted effort to do all of the Ksiva topic in one day, right? Because we have actually a lot to cover. First, I wanted to go over the Isser of Ksiva, the Malach of Ksiva. It's very important to know it, right? And to understand what makes it into a Daraisa, what makes it into a Durabanan. Once we can get it into a Durabanan, we're going to have a lot more room to work. We're going to be able to take care of a lot of the patients that are problems in non-Shabbos residencies. Those are the non-Chodesh Yishmas HaKana patients. That's the hardest thing to navigate. Those patients you're